Hi everyone, this is Hala Taha live at Discover Las Vegas 2018. And with me today is Lou and Tony. Would you please introduce yourselves to our listeners?
My name is Lou Pia, and I am an environmental and compliance counsel in the Office of Ethics and Compliance here at EHPE. And, you know, in that role, I essentially work with full team to ensure that HPE's products are compliant and responsibly sourced. And so that involves working and advising on a variety of different laws, including take back and recycling laws.
Hi, I'm Tony Adams. I work in the IT Asset Lifecycle Business Development Group in Andover, Massachusetts. My responsibilities include managing new offers, developing new offers, and also ensuring that we have the right focus on compliance and on making sure that we handle used electronic equipment in the right way.
Okay, so what general trends do you see with environmental compliance related to IT and technology?
Yeah, I think the biggest trend that I see when it comes to IT and technology and environmental compliance is kind of growth and growth in terms of circular economy kind of related regulations. The EU has recently released a legislative package of circular economy themed regulations, and you know those are going to significantly impact the requirements of the requirements on producers of electrical and electronic equipment throughout the EU. And as is often the case, what the EU does, the rest of the world ends up following. Kind of piggybacking on my comment about a circular economy, I mean, I think we'll continue to see an increase in take back requirements at a country level. You know, those will look a variety of different ways. They'll relate to sort of how are products built, how are they manufactured, what's the ability for those products to be repaired and reused, and then you know regulations that relate to the kind of safe disposal of products if that's ultimately where the life cycle ends. So I think generally we'll continue to see a whole host of regulations that emerge in that context. And again, I mean, for those that are kind of working in this space, I think that the developments of the EU are the ones to track most closely.
What are some of the different rules and regulations we need to pay attention to when it comes to environmental compliance and IT?
Well, our overall focus is on management of electronic equipment, which is treated as hazardous waste in most of the world because of illegal dumping that's gone on. So the WEEE directive in Europe and ROHS directive there, our own EPA regulations require that we manage used electronic equipment in a very specific way, that we use downstream handlers that also are aware of those. There are certifications that are important to our customers that we have to maintain. Additionally, there are privacy rules and regulations like GDPR in Europe and our own HIPAA standard that also add to the complexity for handling this used equipment that we need to be aware of.
Yeah, exactly. So I know in the traditional economy, linear economy, it's all about take, make, and dispose. And now many companies are transitioning to a circular economy. Can you talk about what the circular economy is and what value it can bring to businesses?
Yeah, so I mean the circular economy is all about reducing the amount of waste that goes into landfills and increasing recycling and reuse. That's, I think, the most basic and kind of general way to describe what it is. I think what it means for us and for others, I think in a lot of ways it's more regulations, right? It's more laws and sort of developments that we all need to track and be mindful of. But I think there's a lot of opportunity in this as well for businesses. You know, I ask myself who's recycling these products? Who's advising other companies that produce these products that are subject to regulations? What they're required to do and how they're required to do it. There'll continue to be, I think, opportunities in that space for us and for others that do this type of work.
So the EU is leading the charge on both the circular economy as well as the digital privacy protection movement with the new legislation put in place with GDPR and then now the circular economy package. Can you talk about how GDPR and the circular economy is related?
Yes. So, you know, I think the kind of bottom line is that Electrical and electronic equipment, tech equipment will continue to see an increase in recycling, as I previously mentioned. The products that are going to be recycled will increasingly have data that's subject to GDPR saved on those devices. In fact, I think we'll probably see even more equipment. I think, with the growth of the IoT, the types of devices that will continue to pick up data, I think sort of the scope of the intersection of these two laws will continue to be kind of interlocked, you know, for well into the future. And so, you know, I think they really do go hand in hand, and I think companies need to continue to think about these two regulations as separate but very much related.
What are some of the blind spots or trouble spots that you see companies perhaps overlooking as they're working towards their GDPR compliance program?
Some of the blind spots customers have are, first of all, not realizing that the products that they're returning are data bearing. So they return things to other companies, and they may miss some of the assets that contain data. For example, a second hard drive in a laptop. A smart device that isn't usually thought of as holding data can be overlooked, and we're very careful about this and make sure that we cover all assets and do scans of our assets to make sure we're not overlooking a second drive or so forth. So we're very scrupulous in how we do this because we understand what's at stake, and we can help the customer meet their own compliance. Very quickly, a second thing is that over and above the actual clearing of assets, there are failures to keep track of assets as they're being disposed of. And once the assets come to us, we're very careful about making sure that what comes in our facilities are all cleared. But where these breaches can occur is on the customer's own premise, where they may park assets in a location and forget they're there, or load additional assets onto a truck and forget they've sent them. Those are very real blind spots for a customer, and we do the best we can to help customers through that.
How about broken devices?
Broken devices are a special challenge because they can't be cleared. The fact that they're broken means that they can't undergo the usual clearing process. Those need to be destroyed, which customers many times don't view very favorably because they can't be resold and they can't be used a second time. So destroying them is a bit of a burden, but it's far better than releasing an asset into the world where the secrets it holds may be released without the approval of the owner.
Cool. So before you had mentioned how the EU sort of leads the way and then other regions and countries follow suit, can you give an example of when that has happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. One law that I work with quite a bit, or I have worked with quite a bit while here at HPE, is the EU's directive on the restriction of hazardous substances. I mean, essentially, that's a law that prohibits certain types of hazardous substances and products. And so the EU issued a directive. I think most folks kind of, it's pretty clear what those are. They're exemptions. You need to track the kind of status of those exemptions. But you know, I've also seen sort of emerging countries then issue their own variation of this law. And again, they do so in a slightly different way. So for instance, some countries, what they'll say is, the law will say that essentially, you know, companies will do a self-certification that the products they're placing on a particular market are in compliant with the law, and what the country will then do from a regulatory standpoint is they'll conduct market surveillance, right? So they'll spot check to make sure that those products are indeed compliant with the law. You know, however, we recently dealt with an issue where there's a smaller country, a kind of an emerging market that has attempted to replicate this, but instead of kind of doing the market surveillance after products have been placed on the market and kind of relying on the self-certification of companies or the certification of companies, what they want to do is kind of do kind of pre-testing and certification before you actually place the product on the market. Now, you know, I think that, you know, HPE, you know, does everything, we do everything that we can do to comply with laws. We engage countries as necessary, regulators as necessary. You know, I think we're a good corporate citizen, but to have a system that's set up to respond to sort of a different approach, and now, you know, but to have to kind of react differently to another country is a challenge. And it's not just a challenge for HP, it's a challenge for many IT companies.
Can you talk about how IT lifecycle management is related to GDPR?
Lifecycle management is a healthy end-of-life practice that GDPR rely, in many ways, the rules in GDPR rely on to get the products out of production and into a second life. So having robust data clearing, data management practices at end of product life is a key part that works with the circular economy, as well as helping GDPR's statutes become fulfilled.
Can you talk about the data wiping process and what that entails?
The data wiping process involves, it could be one of several practices. One is an overwrite. This is where data is overwritten using the standard functioning of a product to obscure the binary information that existed previously. Most companies prefer a three-pass overwrite to ensure that all of the binary data is eradicated.
Why is it important for customers to have a trusted asset recovery service provider?
Having a partner that is trusted in the asset recovery process is essential, because not only is the provider depended on to make good judgment as far as the value of products, but they're also holding, in many cases, data-bearing assets that, if released improperly, would cause harm to the customer. So it's a key element in the customer's life cycle asset management that the asset recovery provider be trustworthy, be transparent, and be aware of environmental regulations and privacy regulations wherever they are in the world.